The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Dalton to his right, end zone, touchdown, A.J. Green. Fitzpatrick going deep to Deshaun Jackson on the first play from scrimmage. And takes it all the way for a Buccaneers touchdown.
Rivers to the end zone. Caught, touchdown, Chargers. Cousins pressure, going for Thielen.
Over the middle, Travis Kelce, touchdown. Mahomes, Cannon, touchdown. Chris Conley,
Taylor for the end zone, touchdown. Antonio Callaway, the extra point. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes
and check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike,
and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Overcorrection Monday. We've had 2 weeks of the NFL now. Mm-hmm. We were on some teams because they played great. Following week, they didn't play so great. So now I'm going to jump off a few teams. Basically, this is the where are we after 2 weeks at this point now? We were talking, well, you were gone, Mike. We were talking about, the Cleveland Browns and the fun that never ends with that team.
Oh, geez. Like, I was just saying, like, they better not, they better not fuck things up and drop Tyrod.
I don't think they will.
Because he's not the problem.
Oh, no, it's coaching, I think, without question.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
But we were saying, Mike, and I don't know that anybody would disagree with me at this point, that team should be 2-0 right now, shouldn't they?
Given how the season's played out so far, absolutely.
I think they were the better team on, and I can't remember the last time I said this, they were the better team on the field in both games. And what about the Steelers? Oh, boy.
The Steelers are bad, and it's glorious.
We called it, though. We called it right on the nose. We said they were going to be in a lot of high-scoring games, and it would come down to whether or not they could hang with teams in the scoring department. Kansas City just, wow, that Mahomes kid's pretty good.
I think we can say the Chiefs are good. Like, they are a good team.
The Rams.
Of course, the problem with that is that it's Andy Reid, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they might very well just win the fucking, they might as well just, they could win the division. Now, they could get a first round bye, and you still don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs because Andy Reid. But
well, what they have to do is they have to make sure they have a 10 to 15 point lead at, say, 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter at all times, and they'll be okay because then the clock management doesn't come into play.
You but if that's the case with a guy like Mahomes, I think they can do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 6 touchdowns. He has 10 touchdowns in his first 3 games total that he's played. First, 10 in the first 2 games of the season, which are both tied for records. Just incredible.
Yeah, he's a good. He's going to be good so far. The Jets, our beloved Jets, after that fantastic start on Monday night, went out and just fell right off the cliff Sunday against the Dolphins, of all teams. The Dolphins are now 2-0.
Well, I wouldn't
Your
say...
Your AFC
just,
East leading Miami Dolphins.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if the Jets fell off a cliff. Like, Darnold was threw for 334 yards and a touchdown. Tannehill only threw for 168 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's just like... I would kind of blame that more on the defense. For like, the defense made the Jets look great against the Lions. And I guess you also attribute some of that to Matthew Stafford. So I think that was more of what the Jets are, is kind of middle. They'll be in a bunch of one score games and maybe they'll break the right way, maybe they'll break the wrong way, but
yeah, but they only scored 12 points and it was all in the second half. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you learn anything coming into week two or not. The Chargers, I think we saw what's going to happen a lot with them on the road. They're very, very good. Now granted, they were playing the Bills, but still.
Yeah, I think
they're on the road 16 games a year. They should be undefeated.
Yeah, but they're literally on the road now. You know, figuratively, they're on the road when they're at home, but they're literally on the road against Buffalo.
I think you can throw out any stats people put up against Buffalo this year.
Yeah.
Buffalo, I mean, Buffalo probably, no, easily a worse team than the Cleveland Browns.
I don't think the Browns are a bad team. I think they're a very poorly coached team, but I don't think they're bad anymore. I think that defense is really good. Really good.
There are two teams that are legitimately bad, like the worst teams, and that's Buffalo and Arizona.
Yeah. Well, you saw Arizona in person yesterday, so let's talk about your experience.
Well, we'll get to them. Stay on the Bills for just a second, because I think the other big thing.
Okay. Yeah, something happened yesterday.
The Bills are so God. Bad yeah. that they literally had a player retire at halftime.
Vontae Davis just like, you know what? I'm out. I'm going home.
The hell with this. I quit.
Vontae Davis is an interesting situation, too. So he was inactive in week one. He was benched. Then the Bills' starting cornerback got injured, so he got reactivated for week two. He gets burned from the Chargers' first touchdown of the game pretty early on. And then at halftime just says, yeah, screw it. I'm not good enough. This team sucks. I'm out.
Now, his teammates have had a complete fit about this. Where do you guys stand on it? I think if the guy knows he's hurting the team and he's not doing anything to help, I don't blame him for saying, hey, you know what? I can't do it. Gotta go.
I get it from, like, you know, look on the outside looking in, but if you're a teammate and you have a guy quit on your effort to go forward, I would be like, oh, screw you, guy. Like, we're all here. We know that this is going to be hard, but we're all
right.
here fighting.
If you
think it's too hard, you're going to quit? Screw you.
If we can suck it up and do it, so can you, at least for the rest of the game. You want to quit after this game, that's all fine and dandy. I could see that side of it, too, but I thought it was hysterical. I'm sorry. It just was the funniest damn thing I've ever seen.
Would you say that after a game and a half of the Buffalo Bills, he was just like, fuck it.
Like, this team is so bad, I'm not even going to finish the game. I'm going home. Which is really kind of a 12-year-old kid thing to do when you really break it down. Yeah. Bills are going to be terrible. You think they win a game this year? Could we see back-to-back 0-16s this year?
Oh, let me pull up the Bills' schedule.
Look, if anyone deserves to go 0-16 this year, it's the team coached by the guy who started Nathan Peterman over Tyrod Taylor for no discernible reason.
And can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
Okay. You draft Josh Allen with the idea, the time-tested, completely unproven theory of sitting a rookie quarterback to let him learn. So if that's your plan going into the season, why did you get rid of Tyrod Taylor, the perfect guy for him to sit behind and learn from?
The not only that, but it seems like the only reason they drafted Allen was because he played in the snow sometimes, and it's like, well, you know, it's cold in Buffalo.
So, guys, I think you might be onto something.
Okay.
Oh, joy, yes, yes.
Week three at Minnesota.
That's a loss.
Okay. Week four at Green Bay.
That's a loss, as week long as five, Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
Week five hosting Tennessee.
Boy, it depends on which Titans team shows up, yeah.
Tennessee's looked, you know, not terrible.
I was almost ready to give my irrational confidence back to the Titans yesterday because of between the way the Jets played.
Greg, no! You've got to learn to say no!
let's see. Week six at Houston?
That's a... On the road, that's a loss. At home, I'd say maybe the Bills have a shot, but on the road, they'll lose.
Week seven at Indy?
Indy looked better yesterday against the Redskins, and they were on the road.
Indy hasn't been like Indy even in their first game, which they lost. They didn't look terrible.
And Andrew Luck at home against that Bills team, I've got no qualms at all about taking the Bills or the Colts in that one.
Home Monday night for the Patriots,
definitely a loss. what he said.
Home for the Bears.
That could be tricky. It depends on where the Bears are at that point. If they are the team that I think is going to contend for a playoff spot, that's a loss for the Bills. But if the Bears are shaky, it could go. That could be the one the Bills could win if they're going to win one.
At the Jets, week 10, again, maybe.
Another maybe, depending on where we are at that point.
Bye week, then home for Jacksonville.
That's a loss. Well, I don't know, though. The weather could be pretty bad by then.
This will be November 25th.
Oh, my God. They could be under 4 feet of snow up there. So the weather is going to play a role. Normal conditions, I say Jacksonville, no problem. Because Jacksonville plays the right kind of game. They don't need it to be warm out to do what they do, so I think they'll be okay. But if there's snow everywhere, well, you just got to throw everything out.
Let's see, where was I? At Miami.
Ooh, that's another tricky one.
Home for the Jets.
You're talking about the Miami's 2-0.
even if the Bills are 0-13 at this point, Week 15 at home against the Lions.
Oh, okay.
That's December 16th against a team that plays in a dome.
That might be a win. Maybe. I would still not bet on it, but they could win that one.
Yeah, and then at the Patriots, home for the Dolphins. So maybe not undefeated, but certainly.
I think it's a good shot.
Two wins at most for this team. I'm all in on Bills Watch 2018.
I'm right there with you, Mike.
Let's do like the reverse 72 Dolphins. We're just waiting for a team to go 0-16 to pop the champagne.
I'd set the over under at 2.
Oh, I agree with that.
I'll say under.
The thing with the Bills is that if
2.5
and things keep going badly, like they have been, you get to a point. You saw it with the Browns last year where they just. Even if they were up in a game, they knew they were going to lose. And that stuff spreads, and the next thing you know, you're 0-16. So I think the Bills have a good shot at it.
I mean, I think we have to say right now that, like, the reason this team made the playoffs last year is because Tyrod Taylor pulled them there.
Right.
And I'm not saying Tyrod Taylor is an amazing quarterback, but I'm saying he was good enough in a shit AFC last season.
Right. And they probably win one more game, or at least they're competitive in one more game if they don't do that idiotic Nathan Peterman thing, which I still will never understand.
Well, see, here's the thing about it, why I brought it up, why the Bills deserve to go 0-16, because their coach last year, and we talked about this on the show, he benched Tyrod Taylor for no discernible reason for Nathan Peterman. And then after Peterman threw 5 picks, they asked him about it after the game, and he's had that ridiculous quote, "I don't regret my decision. I regret the result." And that's just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And so if any coach in the NFL deserves to go 0-16 at this point, it's that guy. So
have we ever seen a team that was in the playoffs the year before be this bad the following season? You've seen teams fall off where they'll say they'll go 9-7. And the following season, they go 5-11. But have we ever seen a team go from a 9-7 playoff team to a potential 0-16 team in one season?
I think you have to put an asterisk on the Buffalo Bills as a playoff team last year. Yes, they were in it. They made the playoffs. They were 9-7. But the only reason they made it is by tiebreakers because the other teams
but they still got
their end of the bargain. And then they were garbage in that playoff game.
But to be fair, so was Jacksonville in that game. That was not a good football game from either team.
Jacksonville ended up almost beating the damn Patriots in the AFC title game.
See, the thing is, though, Zach, is that they still won 9 games, regardless of what their playoff performance was and all that. They went 9-7. I don't think they played a tough schedule or anything, but they went 9-7.
No, I'm not talking about the schedule, just like what the results were.
But to see a team go from that level, and again, I don't think they were really a playoff team, honestly. I think you're right. The tiebreakers and a lot of good things going their way got them in. But they were still not a couple plays away from being 0-16 either, which I think this year they could easily do it. I've never seen a team fall this far this fast.
They beat the Jets at home, the Broncos at home. They beat the Falcons on the road. They beat the Buccaneers at home by 3 points. They beat the Raiders by 20 points at home. They beat the Chiefs on the road last year.
Yeah. Was that game where – no, the Raiders were the team that got 7 or 8 tries on fourth down against the Chiefs in that game, yeah.
Beat the Colts at home, beat the Dolphins at home, and then beat the Dolphins on the road in Week 17.
Well, the point being that they weren't this bad last year.
They did have a couple surprising wins in there. The Chiefs on the road, even the Raiders game – the Falcons on the road. So it's not – they did earn their way last year with a couple of those wins.
And now they could go 0-16 this year. So I don't recall ever seeing a team go from playoff team to this bad.
I'm trying to think like all that they lost, and it wasn't that much. It's pretty much the same team, right?
I think.
Aside from the quarterback situation.
Now, are they just going to go with Josh Allen and be done with it at this point, or I mean, are we still going
to
have the Natty P conversation?
They either have to do that or trade for Jameis Winston when he becomes available.
Yeah.
Or if the Buccaneers choose to go with Jameis Winston, bring back the Fitzmagic.
Well, here we go. Let's move on to that game. So I picked this on the boards in our pick'em thread. I had the Bucs winning this game. Because I'm telling you, as long as Nick Foles is quarterback in that Eagles team, I would be very concerned if I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah. Well, Carson Wentz has been cleared and will start this week at the Colts. So.
Yeah, I imagine sort of his leg being amputated, that was going to happen.
All I want to say to bring back the vet is that the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So.
But, I mean, the Fitzmagic is a powerful force.
Oh, that outfit he wore at the press conference was just pure poetry.
His Conor McGregor impression, yeah.
That was beautiful.
I saw a great comment. It was so nice of the Bucks to let homeless Conor McGregor answer a few questions.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, 402, four TDs.
275-yard touchdown passes.
DeSean Jackson in a bit of a revenge game, 129 yards. One
on the
TD
first
the
play
Bucks.
From scrimmage of the game, too, by the way, that pass.
Yeah.
How about that? So the Buccaneers...
Man,
of our 2-0s, are the Dolphins the biggest surprise or are the Bucs?
Well, the Dolphins have played the Titans in a lightning delay,
right?
And the Jets coming down.
The Bucs have beaten two good teams, so I'm going to give it to them. I think the Bucs are by far and away the more surprising 2-0 we got right now.
Oh yeah, especially with Fitzpatrick at QB, I think you have to give it to them there. It's just. Is this another typical Fitzmagic streak?
Yes.
And does it die? Does it die after week 6?
Yes. I really believe that.
Well,
I wish it wouldn't. I do, because I don't really want Jameis Winston to come back to the Buccaneers. There's two things I want the Buccaneers to do. Finally cut bait with Jameis Winston and fix their uniforms, because I really want to like this team again.
Look, Jameis Winston has never had a game as good as the two Ryan Fitzpatrick just had for the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Do the Buccaneers believe the same thing that you believe, Greg, that this is a streak and it will come to an end? Or do they officially move on from Jameis Winston because of two games now with Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Both.
It's tough.
I think you have to be cautious and hold on to him, maybe. But
there's no law that says they can't bring Jameis Winston back and make him ride the bench. No, there's no rule against that. They can do that, and they may very well do just that. And that's what I would do if I were them. But to hand him the starting job back after this would be ludicrous.
That's kind of the thing where I'm at, where it's like, if this is just another Ryan Fitzpatrick streak, then at the very least, ride it until it's over.
Right.
Like, okay, maybe it goes away after 5 or 6 weeks, but, you know, that's still 5 or 6 weeks of mostly winning football games.
What's their schedule coming up, Zach, the Bucs?
They play the Steelers this week.
In Pittsburgh or in Tampa?
I am not sure.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull up their schedule. I didn't have it in front of me.
But the thing about it is, though, like, it's just one of those things where, like, whatever your feelings on Ryan Fitzpatrick might be, can you really, like, go to your team, you know, your players, who have been doing very well with this guy at quarterback, and before he's even had a chance to cool off, tell him, no, you're no longer starting?
I wouldn't, but this is the Buccaneers we're talking about.
I mean...
Yeah. So they host the Steelers, and they're at the Bears before a bye week.
Wow, I don't know how I feel about them playing the Steelers. If they play like they've been playing the first 2 weeks, the Steelers might have a tough game on their hands here.
Plus, the past two games, the Bucs have put up points. The Steelers have had trouble stopping offenses so far.
But they can score.
But, you know, at that point, that's not on Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's on the Bucs D.
Right. Well, we talked about it last week that you said if he could come out of this at 2-1 after the first three games, he keeps a job. And I said a competitive 1-2 would get the job done. I think he's done enough at this point where if Jameis Winston comes back, you still start Ryan Fitzpatrick until you're given no other option.
Yeah, no.
Until he becomes so terrible. I mean, he doesn't have to go out and do what he's been doing these first 2 weeks. Just be competent, and the job is his.
Look, the thing about it is that, and I said this last season too, when Jameis Winston went down for a few weeks with an injury, that the team just looked better with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Now, granted, last season during that injury stretch, Fitzpatrick wasn't putting up the numbers he's put up so far, but, you know, the team still looked better than they had with Jameis under center. Like, maybe it's because I bought into the hype last year, and so like the disappointment was a bit deeper. But I remember last season watching the Buccaneers with Jameis Winston and just being utterly shocked at how such a hyped team could play so uninspired. Jameis Winston is not doing it, and at this point, with the off-field issues that have come up, he's more trouble than he's worth. I mean, you can't go around groping Uber drivers, for fuck's sake.
No, that's probably not a good idea.
And when you pair that with, you know, the issues he had with the law when he was playing for the Seminoles, it starts to be like, well, maybe this is just going to be one of those things that is always a problem. And do you, as a team, want to put up with that for a QB who, quite honestly, has never really impressed?
Yeah. To me, Fitzpatrick's got the gig until he is just so terrible, you have no choice but to sit him down. That's the way the Bucs should handle it. Now, whether they will or not remains to be seen, because they're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the minute you think you've got them figured out, as we have learned the hard way over the years, they're going to do something that completely blows your whole theory out of the water.
Yeah.
Are the Eagles... Well, we'll know more about the Eagles when Wentz comes back. I think that's going to be the big
thing. I'm not too concerned with the Eagles right this second. They're 1-1. Carson Wentz is coming back. We'll see.
They're 1-1, but they should be 0-2.
Yeah.
In Falcon.
Yeah. But when Wentz comes back, that's going to be the key, because we knew Foles was not a long-term answer at quarterback, and he's proven that. And it's too bad. I mean, it's good for the guy. He went out and got himself a Super Bowl MVP, had a great game in the Super Bowl, but I think I refer to him on the boards as the new Jeff Hostetler, who did the same thing with the Giants back in like 1990, played in the playoffs, won a Super Bowl, and everybody's like, hey, this guy could be something, and he wasn't. So
let's move on to your other team, Greg. 2 weeks, two ties.
Oh. This one, I will say, is better than a loss to the Vikings, because I don't know how this works out in the tiebreaker scenarios, but if you're not going to win, at least don't lose. But I also think the Packers got royally screwed on that roughing the passer call against Clay Matthews. If that's not a clean hit in this league anymore, I don't know what is.
Do you want to know the explanation they gave?
Not really, but I'm going to listen to it. Go ahead.
So initially, when people looked at it, they thought one of the new emphases on the rule this year was that you can't, as a defender, when you're hitting the quarterback, you cannot land on him or drive him into the ground with most or all of your body weight.
Right.
So that's what people thought the rule was. After the game, they do interviews with the referees, or there's a reporter that just one reporter that interviews the referees. And they said what they called there wasn't the body weight rule. It was that Clay Matthews lifted him and then planted him on the ground. But you watch the replay, he didn't lift anything. He just drove him backwards onto his ass.
Well, even if he did lift him, it wasn't one of those I'm trying to think of a hit. I mean, older fans are going to know what I mean when I say the Turkey Joe Jones hit on Terry Bradshaw, where he basically tried to kill him. It wasn't like that.
It wasn't late. It wasn't high. It wasn't low. It was middle, form tackle, drive him into the ground.
Cost the Packers an interception.
Or anything. Just.
But by the same token, you were also up 29-7, I believe, and gave up 22 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And Minnesota, had they not had kicker issues, should have won that game too.
Right.
0-3 their kicker was.
Yeah. So all things considered, I mean, this game, the Packers got lucky to come out of it with a tie, if you ask me, because they really completely fell apart in the fourth quarter. The most important thing that I take away from this game is that Rodgers is still standing. That was the issue, because I was not crazy about him playing against Minnesota on that tough defense of theirs. But another tie Isn't it time we find some version of the college overtime and apply it to the NFL? Maybe where it's not you play forever, but something along the lines where we have a much better chance of getting a definitive winner in a game than this.
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
I really don't know why that hasn't been the case, other than just this is the way we've always done it. Like,
the argument I've heard is that because they don't want NFL players playing that many extra plays in a game. Okay, well, that's fine. It's a fair concern. So limit it. Say you get, I don't know, what would four cracks at it each side, and that's it. Whoever has the most points after that wins. You know, how hard is that? Or three even. Make it three. You each get the ball three times. From, say, well, the 40.
There's plenty
the 40.
Of teams that can't score from the 25.
Yeah.
Like, it could be over in four,
right.
You know, two plays.
So let's say three possessions each, start at the, since it's NFL, we'll say the 35. And after those three possessions, whoever scored the most points wins the game. Simple. And we
I don't think you need to give them three possessions. Just say, you each get one shot. Go for it. Just do it the college way and say, you either get it from the 35 or you don't.
Well, then you run into the chance of more ties, though, because as we've seen in overtime.
No, but it wouldn't be ties. You'd still just do the overtime as it is.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Like, it, you know,
in any case,
go until somebody wins.
In any case, we all agree that they need to do something to fix this.
I don't know. I really don't think it's that big of a problem because it doesn't happen that often. This is just a weird anomaly. I don't know. It's a weird thing to just have back to back weeks.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I don't want to fix it because it happens a lot. I want to fix it because when it does happen, you can see it's a really flawed system.
Yeah. Well, at least there's no Donovan McNabbs out here saying, "Oh, I didn't know we could end in a tie."
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All things considered, Aaron Rodgers came out of it standing up, and he didn't get hurt again, and that's was my biggest concern.
But when I'm looking at the stats, Aaron Rodgers, 281, one touchdown. Subpar for him, really. Kirk Cousins, 425 and 4 TDs.
Yeah.
I think that's working out.
Yeah. He was, who was their quarterback? Was it Keenum? Was with the Vikings last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kirk Cousins is a huge upgrade for the Vikings at quarterback. And as long as he doesn't do what Kirk Cousins has been known to do, which he'll have a couple of games like this, and he'll go out and have two or three clunkers right in a row, the Vikings are going to be very, 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 very tough. I think you play that game in Minnesota and the Packers don't stand a chance. It's just one of those things where the Lambeau Field thing and all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy the Packers stayed in it. I was surprised they got out to the big lead they did. And, you know, Rodgers is safe and we got out of it with a tie. I'll take it. Not crazy about it, but it's better than losing.
Let's go back to Thursday real quick. Bengals 34, Ravens 23.
Okay, another surprising 2-0 team. I think we missed the boat on the Bengals, guys. I think they might be pretty good.
I don't know why, but I think you're right. Like, I don't know why they're good. I don't know why it's working all the time.
Well, let's put it in its proper perspective. They are the best team in the AFC North. Let's put it that way. Are they good? Good? I don't know about that. But they're the best team in the AFC North, right?
I think the only reason that you would question that is because this is a Thursday and maybe when they play each other again later in the year. But I think the Browns are improved, but they're still not, you know, the top of this division. The Steelers clearly aren't the top of this division right now, I don't think. Mm-hmm. The Ravens still looks okay, but not great. And then the Bengals are a surprising 2-0.
Yeah.
It's still a division that's up in the air, but the Bengals have marked their territory as saying, you know, they're very much in that race as of, you know, week two. But they're in it.
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers right now are so happy they got that tie because otherwise they're 0-2 and Cincinnati's got up two games already. And those two, when they play each other, it's always a bloodbath.
Andy Dalton, 4 TDs in this game.
Yeah.
3 to AJ Green.
Man, broken clocks right twice a day.
It's that, but that's what I mean, right? It's like, I don't.
I'm not sold on the Bengals.
It tells me that they're better, but they...
It's Marvin Lewis, for fuck's sake.
Right.
Right. There's nothing that tells me that they should be better, but they seem to be better.
I think they're good enough to go 10-6 and win that division and lose to whoever wins the AFC South in the playoffs. That's what they... Can you believe that stat? I don't know if anybody saw it when they put it up. The stat, Marvin Lewis, he's never won a playoff game ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because the best season they ever had under Marvin Lewis was the Carson Palmer ACL game.
Right. They were like 14-2 that year, weren't they?
Yeah. It was funny because the NFL Network does their Football Life documentaries, and Carson Palmer was the latest one, and it was on while I was just sitting around. And it was like, yeah, no, that was – those were good teams, and they got screwed because on the second play of the game, somebody rolled into Carson Palmer's knee.
It was against the Steelers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to go to John Kitna to save it.
What's interesting about that game generally – well, not necessarily about that game, but like, I don't know. Marvin Lewis, amazing job security for having never actually won a playoff game.
It's because Paul Brown doesn't care. Like the other thing that I got out of that Carson Palmer thing, the negotiations when he was leaving the Bengals – were ridiculous. Like Carson Palmer kept going to him like, hey, we need to change something here. We need a new GM. We need a new this. We need some help in this area. And Paul Brown kept saying, like, just basically saying, no, we're not going to do it. And so it all starts at the top with the Bengals.
The Bengals are notoriously cheap.
Yeah.
My guess is that they aren't paying Marvin Lewis. They're paying him well, I'm sure, but when you compare it to the average coaching salary of the upper echelon coaches in the NFL, I doubt he's even close. Yeah. And it's easier to keep him cheap because to bring somebody in, you know you're going to have to pay him at least more than what Marvin Lewis is getting, right? Isn't that the way it always works? So, sure, just keep him around. If I'm a Cincinnati fan at this point, I'm just pulling my hair out because you know what you're going to get. Yeah, they might go 10-6 this year. They might make the playoffs, and you know they're going to lose. And I just don't know what the point is at this point, but that's what they keep doing, and that's here we are, Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
We almost were rid of him last year, and then somehow or another he came back from the dead and came back.
Yeah. Falcons beat the Panthers.
Yeah.
How about that?
In a close game, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons were up pretty good for most of that. Cam Newton was able to bring him back a little bit, but
I think the Falcons are going to be okay.
This will be split.
You know. I'm not too worried about the Falcons. I know that they had the trouble against Philadelphia in week one, but they didn't seem to have any trouble finding the end zone in this one.
Yeah, you can say the same thing about the Panthers. They struggled a little bit in week one and were able to come back.
I just don't have any confidence in the Panthers, though.
No.
Of course, I'll say that, and then they'll end up being 12-4 at the end of the year, and I'll look like an idiot, but that's fine, too.
Their quarterback, Cam Newton, was their leading rusher, and their running back, Christian McCaffrey, was their leading receiver. So, I don't know what you want to say.
They're shifting the expectations. They're trying new experimental things. That's what's happening.
Just an interesting one. Colts 21, Redskins 9. Alex Smith looked great against the Cardinals, but I could look good against the Cardinals, so it seems. 292, zero touchdowns against the Colts. Andrew Luck, 179, two TDs. Colts are looking okay.
I was a little surprised by this because they did it in D.C. And I don't think the Colts, a lot of people were like, oh, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. I don't think they're going to be that bad. Probably 5-6 wins. But this is the Redskins that we've brought up so many times before. They're going to look good one week, bad the next, and hopefully by the end of the year, you've had more good games than bad ones that gives you a better than 500 record and a shot at the playoffs. That's the Washington Redskins. And it's going to be more of the same this year, I think.
Yeah. I think based on what I've seen with the Colts so far, and then based on what we've seen, especially in this Titans-Texans game that's up next on the list there, 20-17, Titans over the Texans, I think all I learned this weekend when it comes to those grouping of teams is that the Jaguars are going to run away with this division.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
Guys, I think we need to admit that we were off the mark on the Texans.
Yeah, way off the mark.
I don't get it. Like, again, this is a team with so much talent on the defensive front. Talent on the offense with guys like Watson and Hopkins. But they just can't put it completely together right now. Mm-hmm.
Will they score the first week? I know they had 17 points in this one.
20?
Yeah, I just don't know. I was expecting a lot more out of their offense than what I've seen so far.
Yeah. They scored 20 points and then just the 10 in this one.
I guess I just put a lot of stock into Deshaun Watson coming back off the injury and all that. But I think I was listening to ESPN Radio last night and they brought up a good point. That it was that Bonami Jones. He does a show on Sunday nights.
Bomani, yeah.
Or Bomani. And he said that quarterback progression isn't linear. It's kind of more like, okay, you move forward and then maybe take a couple steps back. And as fans, we expect it to be linear. Like Deshaun Watson was this good last year, so he's going to be even better this year. And he said it doesn't always work that way, that there may be things that he got away with last year, he won't this year, and so far, or so on and so forth. And I thought that was a good point. Maybe that's all we're seeing here, but I had these guys going to the Super Bowl, and I don't think that's going to happen.
And then on the other side of it, though, I mean, as good as not good as the offense is, the fact that this defense let Blaine Gabbert beat them for the Titans is not good.
Is anybody surprised Blaine Gabbert's still in the league? I am a little bit.
He's one of those backup quarterbacks that's just going to sit around there forever.
Yeah, he's going to make a lot of money just being that guy that is going to be around for the next 10 years. I don't know what to make of the Titans. I still don't think the Titans are good. I'm not giving them back my irrational confidence. I'm sticking with my Jets. And the Texans, they're 0-2 now. So whatever they're going to do, they're already in a deep hole because the Jags are 2-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're already behind the eight ball, and they have not looked good at all this season so far.
All of the Florida teams are 2-0.
Yeah. Something kind of funny from our perspective. On the NFL.com's website, whenever you click on these matchups, it comes up with the two helmets of each of the teams that are playing. The Titans helmet is still the white one. They haven't updated their graphics on the official NFL website yet.
The white one's better.
Yeah, right.
Yes, it is. 100%. Moving on down, we already touched on some of these. Let's see, what's the next one? Browns Saints. The only thing that I want to go back to on this is we talked about the Browns a little bit, but for the Saints to be in a tough battle with the Browns after losing their opener to the Buccaneers, are we sure the Saints are okay?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Browns defense is legitimately good. They're going to be tough to score on. They're playmakers. They're doing a good job with the plus minus in the turnover department. Their issue is they can't score points, and their offense is, I don't know if it would be any different if the three of us sat there and drew things in the sand and said, do this. I don't know that it would be any worse. So the Saints played a tough defense at home. They proved a couple of years ago they're not invincible at the Dome anymore, so I'm still on the Saints. I'm not too worried about them. They probably should have played better in this game, but I think that Browns defense is legit, so I'm not too concerned at all with the Saints.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I guess the guy that I'm concerned with is Alvin Kamara. You know, the sophomore slump seems to be a real thing with him through two games. Drew Brees can do a lot of things, 243, two TDs, but this is an offense that is just 100 times more deadly when you can play off that play action.
Right.
And you have that threat that just opens up all the lanes for the passing attack. I think that's the thing that's going to drag the Saints down is if they can't get Alvin Kamara going I don't think it's possible to get him to go to the same rate that he was last year. He averaged like 6 yards a carry last year, which is
that's
nuts.
Insane. That's Jim Brown level football,
right? And so for him to do that 2 years in a row, it's tough. But you got to get him back up to something respectable. 46 yards in a game for a guy that has the explosive talent like he does is
what did he do? How did he do against the Bucs in Week One?
Not good either. Let me pull that up. I remember being quite low. Come on, open.
I know on the BS podcast.
29 yards.
Ooh, that's not a good start to the season.
He had two touchdowns, but he had 29 yards. So in two games, he's rushed for just over 75 yards.
Ooh, that's not good.
Or exactly 75 yards.
That's okay with the Browns, again, I think have a good defense, but the Buccaneers, they scored 40 points against the Bucs. Now, granted, it might be he didn't get a lot of yardage on the ground because they had to throw so much because they were down so big. So you got to kind of play that into it too. But you're right. In either case, if they can't get Kamara going, that makes their offense pretty one-dimensional. That makes them a whole lot easier to beat.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy G is now 8-1 after the Niners hold off the Lions. Niners were up big in this one early, so the score is tighter than the game probably would indicate. But Lions 0-2, probably pretty bad.
Matt Stafford, there are already rumors that there are already rumblings coming out of Detroit that the players aren't happy with Matt Patricia already.
Shock of shockers.
Yeah, imagine that, right?
I
want to go back to the Browns for a second. If they don't win Thursday night against the Jets, does Hugh Jackson get fired? I think he does. You've got an extra long week in between. You've got the 10-day. Basically, it's almost a bye week. You've got time to make the switch. I don't think he survives if they don't beat the Jets.
I mean, look.
Who do they name interim coach? Todd Haley?
Yep.
Greg Williams?
Haley.
That's the game you said they'd win, too, because that would be the worst possible night for everyone to drink for free.
Right, because you're going to have a bunch of people drinking at 11:30 at night, and then you give them all free beer on top of it. Right.
On Thursday.
Yeah. If they lose, he'd be, what, 0-2?
No, 1.
1.
1.
30. Whatever. The fact that it's just one is enough. Do we need to talk about the losses? 30,
it would be one, then 30 with a plus sign next to it, and then one.
I think if he doesn't win Thursday night, they've got to pull the trigger.
I think the problem with that is, like, it's still so early for any of these coaches to be fired. So if you were going to do it, you should have just already done it. Like, what is one more loss going to add to this Browns kerfuffle?
I'm going to go back to what I've said all the time. You look at this team, they outplayed the Steelers, they outplayed the Saints, they somehow miraculously got a tie against the Steelers, and they lost to the Saints. All things being equal, you've got the players, it's got to be coaching. And then you get the stuff like the Josh Gordon stuff, and now the thing with the kicker, was he hurt, wasn't he? And you can't have that. It's just so clear that he does not have a firm grip on the situation there. And that may make all the difference in the world with that team, is just to get a guy in there. I'm not saying Haley's going to be a great coach, but get somebody in there that's consistent, that at least whether he's an asshole or an idiot or whatever, you know you can count on him doing the same thing over and over and over again. With Hugh Jackson, you can't do that.
I was going to say wait till the bye, but their bye's not till week 11.
Yeah.
And if they don't win against the Jets, they could really tumble quickly, because then you're at Oakland, home for Baltimore, home for the Chargers, at Tampa, at Pittsburgh, home for Kansas City, and home for Atlanta. If they don't win against the Jets, it could really snowball.
Well, not only that, but you've had this whole thing with Josh Gordon where they moved heaven and earth in training camp to accommodate him. They get him. And the second week of the season, they decide to cut him. And instead of just keeping their fucking mouths shut and doing it today, they go ahead and drop the news on the Friday before the game. Now, granted, the players are going to say it didn't make any difference, but you can't tell me that kind of stuff doesn't have the players look at this coaching staff and go, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Too many weird things with Hugh Jackson. He doesn't have control of the team. I think cutting Gordon was a Ken Dorsey move, because Jackson got so excited about the Eagle landing and all that and Hard Knocks, and then this happens. That was Ken Dorsey all the way. Or is it John Dorsey? What did I say, Ken?
Ken Dorsey's the quarterback
right.
The Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah, that's right. And Mike, the Cleveland Browns, don't forget, he's part of the jersey.
Is he part of the QB jersey?
He sure is, yes. All right, anyway, let's move on to another game here. I don't want to get stuck on the Browns, but I'm just saying if they don't win Thursday, Hugh Jackson's probably done.
Yeah. Like I said, the Niners bounce back and win. I don't know what you take out of this other than the Niners are better than the Lions. I think that's the only thing you know.
I think the Niners are still a 6-7 win team, and the Lions are bad.
Yeah. Stafford came back, 347, 3 TDs, so he wasn't as absolute dog shit as he was on Monday night. But
yeah, and in a uniform-related note, they wore the white over the gray, which didn't look terrible. Really good. Yeah, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, actually. I like that look, too.
Yeah.
Out in the sun, too. Very nice.
Yep.
Speaking of being out in the sun, it was hot at the Coliseum. 34-0, the Rams roll over the Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals had 5 first downs in this game.
5?
5.
That's it?
2 of those 5 came on the final drive of the game.
Oh, my.
The Cardinals ran exactly 1 play on the other side of the 50-yard line, and it was the final play of the game.
The entire game they got over on the other side of the 50 just once?
I think they didn't even get over the 40.
Wow.
Besides the one. Watching the game, I don't think they got over the 40. And Sam Bradford, 90 yards, zero touchdowns. Jared Goff, 354 yards.
This is a game that a Super Bowl contending team has to go in and do exactly this. And that's exactly what the Rams did. You can't let this game be one of those stupid 15-12 games or whatever. Rams have to go in. They have to kick ass, take names, and go home. And that's exactly what they did. I'm just that much more sold on them now because of it. I think that they are probably the best team in the NFC at this point.
Mm-hmm. The plays over the 50-yard line stat that I told you for the Cardinals, the Rams have only allowed 4 plays over the 50 in the last 6 quarters. They completely shut down the Raiders in the second half of that game. So
cool.
2-0 for the first time since 2001.
Wow, really?
So, yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, just kind of tells you the state of the St. Louis Rams after that Super Bowl year in 01.
Yeah. The Jacksonville Jaguars putting the ass beating on the New England Patriots.
31-20.
Blake Bortles, folks.
Blake Bortles, 377, 4 TDs. I don't know what to take out of this. I think it's Jacksonville kind of making a statement. I think the Patriots are, you know, they're good. They're fine.
I don't know what to make of the Pats. I mean, they beat Houston in the first week of the season, but when you see how bad the Texans look like they're going to be, you kind of go, ooh, 27-20. That should have probably been a little bit worse. Jacksonville comes in and rolls them, and I'm okay with that. I'm not too surprised by it. But Blake Bortles lights you up for, what was it, 377? I'm a little concerned about that if I'm Bill Belichick in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the Patriots. They'll be fine. They got Josh Gordon, and they will be the team that will turn him into the next Randy Moss. He'll enjoy the Super Bowl MVP trophy when he gets it in February.
Yeah. It's just such a weird thing because, of course, that's where he goes.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Of course, that's how this works.
Exactly.
And, of course, he's going to be exactly like you said. He's going to be the Super Bowl MVP by the end of this. That's just the way these things happen. But I will say, at the very least, Jacksonville looks legitimate.
Yeah.
That they weren't a one-year wonder.
And uniform-related note, I thought the teal, while still way too simple, didn't look half bad.
No, the teal looks fine. The teal is not anyone's problem with this set, I don't think.
That's not their primary, though, is it?
No, black is the primary.
Why on earth would you do that? Use the black as the alternate and make the teal the primary. You got a decent-looking set there. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I'm in on the Jags. I think they're going to be pretty good. If Bortles can continue to play like this, they could be very good. I just don't know that I depend on Bortles playing like this.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with Blake Bortles. Like, you can't. Do you really have the confidence to rely on him to be the guy?
Well, not only that, but a lot of the highlights that I saw from this game, and again, I didn't see the whole game, so I don't know if this is just what I happen to see, but there were a few plays of those 377 yards where it was like a 10-yard pass and the receiver did the rest of the work. That can be a very misleading stat. It's not like he was hitting a lot. Maybe he was, and I just didn't get it in the highlight package. But I didn't see a whole lot of 30, 40, 50-yard downfield plays. I saw him hitting a guy 12 yards out and then the receiver getting loose and picking up the next 40. That's great if you can do it all the time, but I don't know that that cures the passing ills of Blake Bortles if that's all he can do. All right. We got 2 left. Let's bang them out here real quick.
All right. Raiders-Broncos. The Raiders looked like they were going to pull the damn thing off, and then they didn't.
I don't think either one of these teams are good.
No, I think that's what you find out with a game like that, is that they're both pretty even in the fact that they're both going to be at the bottom of the AFC West, especially when you look at what the Chiefs do and what the Chargers. Like, the Chargers, despite our misgivings about them, are better than both those teams.
Yes.
Clearly.
The Chiefs are the class of that division. The Chargers, wow, I've said it before. I'll say it one more time, and then I promise I won't bring it up anymore. But if they were just back in San Diego, they'd be so good. This is just all because of where they are or they're not. The whole Los Angeles thing is just killing that team. But these two clowns, I don't know what to make of it. I'm just glad Gruden's 0-2. That I'm happy about. I am not rooting for him. I want him to fail miserably.
I mean, I'm just, at this point, like, I think we have to say that the Super Bowl 50 trophy, the Super Bowl 50 victory, that was just a result of John Elway making a wish upon a monkey's paw, right?
that was a great defense that they had that year.
Yeah.
And they have guys still. They have Von Miller. They have Bradley Chubb. And that defense right now is good, but it's just not the level that defense was for Super Bowl 50. And you know, say what you will about Peyton Manning hobbling around the field, he was effective enough. You know, he's not Case Keenum going 222 for no touchdowns.
No, Manning did exactly what he had to do in that Super Bowl, which was, and I hate this term, but he managed the game because that's all he needed to do. And they just turned that defense loose on the Panthers, and that was the end of that. That was a tough, hard-hitting defense, and it was going to be tough to beat them whether Manning played well or not.
I didn't watch this game because I was at the Rams, but the Case Keenum threw no touchdown passes. Their leading rusher scored no touchdowns. How did they score?
I don't know. I didn't watch it either. I couldn't tell you.
The one running back scored a touchdown. What is his name? Royce Freeman. He's a rookie. He had 8 carries for 28 yards and 1 touchdown.
David Carr had, looks like he had a touchdown pass.
Right, but I'm talking about the Broncos.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Broncos. Okay. Freeman had a touchdown. And that's it. Did the defense score twice or something, or what? That's what
the defense had to have scored twice.
Hold on, I'm going through here. Okay, so the Broncos field goal. Keenum had a rushing touchdown.
Ah, okay.
Keenum ran the ball for a 1-yard touchdown. I don't know if that was a sneak or not, but yikes!
Wow. Like,
yeah, the fact that your leading rusher and your quarterback scored 0 touchdowns, but you somehow managed to win.
But do you think, though, with their defense, and I don't know what their schedule looks like, but could these guys be sneaking around, sniffing out, because of the AFC and how bad it is, could they be sneaking around looking at a playoff spot towards the end of the year, the Broncos?
I mean, they're 2-0, right? So, at the very least, they're 6 wins away from playoff contention.
Yeah.
With, you know, 14 weeks to go. Let's see, they're at Baltimore, host Kansas City, at the Jets, host the Chargers, they're at the Cardinals, there's another win, at Kansas City, hosting Houston.
Because I think I've got more faith in Keenum, maybe not repeating what he did last year, but coming closer than I do Foles, coming close to doing it again.
They host the Steelers, Bengals, 49ers, Browns later in the year. I think because of the schedule, they could eke their way into contention. I don't know if they're a playoff team, but
they could. You know what I'm saying, though? Could they be like sneaking around? Well, look at this. The Seattle Seahawks were all white in this game and totally screwed up my whole best and worst list this week. Now I have to put them into consideration.
Well, I mean, with those Bears homes.
Yeah. Good looking game. All right, go Bears.
The Bears. So,
I got to tell you, while we're talking about the Bears and Mitch Trubisky, and I hate to bring up fantasy football, but I'm going to. So I'm looking at my lineup yesterday. My two quarterbacks are Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. And then I thought, as an insurance policy, in case Rodgers goes down, I'm going to take Mitch Trubisky. So I've got all three of them sitting there, and I think, well, I'm going to go with Stafford. Then I thought, no, he was terrible last week. They're in San Francisco. I don't like that feeling of that at all. Then I thought, okay, Trubisky might do all right on Monday night. Anyway, long story short, it finally occurred to me. I'm like, you've got Aaron Rodgers. Start Aaron Rodgers, you idiot. And that's what I did. But I actually considered starting Mitch Trubisky.
Well, now watch Mitch Trubisky have like the game of his life.
Well, now do we have to stop and be silent for Russell Wilson's first snap just out of deference to
reference?
Him?
No, make as much noise as possible.
Oh, is that Chris Carson? I bet you I didn't play him this week, and he just picked up 9. All right, sorry, go ahead.
The last game on the schedule, the primetime Sunday night showdown that everyone waits for every year. Cowboys-Giants. 20-13 Cowboys. Giants are 0-2.
Did you guys watch any of this?
No.
It was... first off, it was a really fast game. It was over...
I think barely a little bit past 11 o'clock, it was already done. That's so it went quick. But it was just so boring. I thought, God, who even cares about these two teams anymore? And you're right. We get this at least once a year on Sunday night, right?
Yeah, it's because it's always in the first half of the schedule where they can't flex out of it. And so they, because they know that people will watch, you know, they'll get the ratings for it. You know, we don't care, but there's a ton of Giants and Cowboys fans across the country.
Yeah, well.
That do. I
think I'm off the Giants at this point.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I called it. They wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
I called it.
Well, and like Saquon Barkley, only 28 rushing yards, but 80 receiving yards. So 100 yards total in the game. That's fine.
I want to see these Cowboys fans, I'm sure, are all fired up thinking, our team is back. Look at us go. Don't kid yourselves. Yeah. You're not very good.
You're so back with Dak Prescott's 160 yards passing and Ezekiel Elliott's 78 yards rushing. Yeah,
neither one of these teams are good.
Tavon Austin was their leading wide receiver, which should tell you a lot.
And most of that came on, I think it was a 70-yard play. Right. These are not good teams. Not good teams.
No, I hate the fact that this is always shoved into the prime time, especially right. In years like this.
Yeah.
Neither of these teams are making the playoffs.
All right, so we'll wrap up NFL week two real quick.
I will have you know that a certain Cowboys fan on the CCSLC forums has said the Cowboys can win the division with more games like this.
No.
Which division? Are they talking about like a division in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
I mean, you know what, though? Hear me out on this for just a second. So the Giants are 0-2, and we don't think they're very good. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are 1-1, and they've looked mediocre at best.
Yeah.
The Redskins are 1-1, and they had a big win over the Cardinals, who I saw in person.
The Cardinals, the Cardinals, I think, are like the Bills, where we have to disregard any stats up against.
100%. 100%. Unless you blow them out like the Rams did.
Yeah.
Like, Sam Bradford is pitiful. Absolutely pitiful.
I don't understand why he's still starting. Like, I'm Cardinals
sure he was fan. We actually had good seats. We were pretty close to the field. Watching him, like, within a reasonable distance and being able to judge, like, where he's throwing and how he's throwing it, ugh. Josh Rosen is just standing there wearing his baseball cap looking like a doofus. And he should be in those games. I guess it's a good thing to sit him and not throw him out there to try and command this mess. But good God, Sam Bradford needs to be out of those leagues, like, yesterday.
I don't know how he's managed to make a career last as long as it has. I don't get it.
A lot of injury time, which means a lot of time off, which means he's rested, you know.
I suppose.
Right. Yeah, he just hasn't gotten a good shot because he's been so injured.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, sure. I'm going to go with that. He's not very good. but wrapping it up, so.
Yeah, but he made his money. God damn it, he made his money.
Yes, he did.
The Redskins are kind of mediocre.
Wasn't he a number one overall pick?
He was. Yes.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
So the Giants are bad. The Cowboys are mediocre. The Redskins are mediocre. And who knows? Carson Wentz could turn back into a pumpkin.
If he doesn't, though, the Eagles should walk away with that division. That's the difference,
exactly. I think,
between the Eagles being good and not. Foles is a problem.
It's up to Carson Wentz. And if he's up to snuff, then, yeah, then the division's gone. But if he's not, that throws everything kind of in
guys,
the jump.
I have to stop.
Yes.
The impossible has just happened.
Mm.
I think Russell Wilson may have fumbled the football.
Oh, my God!
I know.
No, hey, this is God's plan, guys.
There's a meteorite headed for Earth right now. It has to be.
No, God wanted him to fumble that football.
Oh, no, we're okay. The ground caused it. We're fine. The ground caused it.
Okay.
Well, relax, everyone. I hated to alarm everyone, but we can all go back to...
God created the ground so that Russell Wilson wouldn't fumble.
Right. I thought for a second there that we were in trouble. And I'm thinking, and geez, right before Yom Kippur, too.
Oh, don't pull my religion into Russell Westbrook.
All right, so real quick, to wrap up NFL Week 2, I'm just going to say I'm in a little bit more on the Bengals. I'm completely off the Texans. I'm still okay with the Saints. I'm still okay with the Falcons. The Rams are the best team in the NFC. And I'm going to go a step further and say possibly the best team in the NFL. I think they're better than the Patriots.
I'm gonna buy into the Bucks. Why the fuck not? I'm here. Fitzmagic is fun to watch.
I'm not gonna buy in, but I'm on them more than I was. I'm with you. I think they've got some potential.
Fitzmatch, you know what? I have no, you know, I know it's not going to last, but fuck it. I'll enjoy it while it's happening. Fitzmagic all the way. And that's a bit added by the fact that Jameis Winston is both a mediocre quarterback and kind of a terrible human being. Yeah. So.
Where are we on the Steelers?
Bad.
I don't know if they're, I don't know if I can call them bad, but. Is this a team, like, because obviously the biggest question around them right now is Le'Veon Bell. If they have Le'Veon Bell, does that make them 2-0?
I don't think Le'Veon Bell's coming back. That relationship is so soured at this point between that team.
That situation is fucking hilarious to watch if you're not a Steelers fan.
And it's stupid.
It really is. It really is stupid.
From both sides.
But the Rooneys don't play around, and they're not going to put up with this. If that James Conner kid or whatever his name is, if he can play a little bit, Le'Veon Bell, it was nice knowing you. You're going to be somewhere else. But they're not going to play this.
He rushed for 17 yards in this game.
Oh, well. But he had a bunch of receiving yards, didn't he?
Yeah.
Whatever. The whole thing's ridiculous. Other than scoring a lot more points, would they really be that much better? They're still going to have to win a shootout pretty much all the time. I don't know. I'm not fully off them yet, but I really thought...
And you've got an aging and increasingly overweight Ben Roethlisberger to rely on that shootout.
Yeah. So I think I might be in the Chiefs. I'm pretty much on with the Chiefs. That Mahomes kid can play. So... Not a lot of changes from last week, I guess.
No. I'd say the big thing, kind of like the mirror opposite of the Bucks, is that the Saints, I think, are going to be not as good as we thought they might be. Like, it might end up being the Saints who are the ones who aren't really in contention in the NFC South.
Two things. I remember this from listening to the Bill Simmons' Cousin Sal season preview, which I don't know why we didn't think of this, but... Of the playoff teams from last year, usually like 3 or 4 don't make it the following year. And it's starting to look like the Saints might be one of those teams. Bills, we can say for sure.
Definitely.
Bills for sure.
Saints,
I'm going to give the Saints one more week before I bail on them completely. And I don't know who's going to jump up right now and take, like, say, the Saints' place. But maybe the Buccaneers.
Safe money is the Falcons, but it could be the Bucks. Yeah. I mean, you never know. Honestly, I'm not entirely ready to write off the Panthers. I don't think they've been so bad that it's concerning.
Weren't they both playoff teams last year, the Falcons and the Panthers?
Yes.
Did the Panthers make it that last year?
Yeah, so we're looking at teams that made it last year that won't be back this year. I think we can pretty much all agree the Bills are one of those teams.
The Bills... Saints.
I'm giving the Saints one more week. The Bills definitely out. Did the Dolphins make it last year? No.
Who's the other wildcard team in the AFC?
Titans.
Yeah, Titans are gone.
Titans might not make it.
Yeah, then you got to find teams to take their place. See, that's the thing.
Well,
anyway,
in the AFC, I mean, I think you can pencil it. Like, I think the Ravens and the Steelers could compete for a playoff spot. You have the Bengals up in there now.
I think the Bengals slide into the slot we just had vacated by the Titans for sure.
Yeah. And then the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Right.
So there's
I forgot about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, I think a Chiefs Rams Super Bowl would be incredible.
Yeah.
So.
Especially if the Rams roar their throwbacks.
Oh. Oh.
That would be a beautiful uniform combination.
Where is the Super Bowl this year? Do you remember?
Atlanta.
Oh.
It's at the Giant Butthole.
It's in the giant butthole, the arena, by the way, that has a Chick-fil-A in it, even though it's mostly open on Sundays.
Right.
So, you know, fun times.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
No, doesn't.
I don't think – do we ever get confirmation on this? Are the Chick-fil-A's in the stadium closed?
I don't know.
I would have to think they would because, like, Chick-fil-A, they even close on the mall. Like
yeah,
the
they're dead serious about their closing on Sunday stuff.
Right, but, like, if it's in a NFL football stadium...
I don't know.
You'd think so, but...
Do they just make a bunch of chicken sandwiches and then leave them out and say
honor system?
When I arrive at the stadium on Sunday, I want, you know, 8 hour old chicken sandwiches that were made the night before and left out.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Is it like when you go to some houses on Halloween and like no one answers the door, but there's just like a big plastic like bowl of candy?
Right.
Like,
there's just
like a bowl of chicken sandwiches out there, like.
If anybody in the audience is from Atlanta or has been to like a Falcons game or whatever, let us know on that because I'm curious how they work that.
Hold on. It says, why is there a Chick-fil-A in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? This is a thing on the Chick-fil-A website.
Oh, okay.
The closed on Sunday question answered. Why do you have Chick-fil-A's that's closed on Sundays in a professional football stadium? That's the question customers around the country ask. So it is closed on Sundays.
Then what's the point?
The Monday night games, I guess.
Monday night and the rare college game. And I guess they have concerts and stuff there. I don't know.
The guy says, we're open for about 100 events a year that happen right here in the stadium.
Okay.
The franchise operator of the Chick-fil-A at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We have Atlanta United soccer games, concerts, college football games, high school football games, band competitions, and more. We even have a monster truck rally.
No. A monster truck rally in the South. What a shocker.
So there's a bunch of other events during the year, but like, if I was an Atlanta Falcons fan and I'm going to the games and I'm like, oh, Chick-fil-A. Oh, it's closed.
I'm not eating there anyway. Their views on certain things. I mean, I'm not one normally to be all about the boycotts and stuff, but their views are so prehistoric. Yeah. I just cannot in good conscience give them money.
Yeah, make a damn good chicken sandwich. Waffle fries are pretty good.
Great. The waffle fries are good.
They actually make really good shakes. Underrated. Yeah. If you get a shake there, really good. But yes, this is on the official Chick-fil-A Chicken Wire website.
They felt the need to address this.
They had to make a blog post.
Well, inquiring minds want to know.
I mean, I do like it's like, yeah, we opened a Chick-fil-A in a professional football stadium, and most of the time, not open. So,
but they are open for everything else that they host. Which
they are open
for that.
For the monster truck rallies, I guess. That's exciting.
Sadly, the truck rallies probably outdraw the Falcons, if you want the truth.
Well, I think you get enough people there.
Well,
speaking of attendance, by the way, the Rams got 66,000 people for this game. It may not look like it sometimes.
Well, no, because they're playing in a place that holds 450,000.
Right. It is a strange thing where you're like, yeah, there's a lot of people here, but damn, there's also a lot of empty seats because the upper – they just don't sell, like, some of those tickets because they cap the attendance.
Right. It's Trubisky with the big run for the Chicago Bears. Look at him go, folks.
So now the question is how are the Chargers doing in regards to the LA Galaxy?
On paper, they'll tell you that they're selling out the games. So I don't know how to gauge that. I will gauge it.
And on paper, the Blackhawks lose money. Okay, so that doesn't mean anything.
So unfortunately, because the Cardinals are so bad, I was going to buy my grandfather tickets to the Cardinals Chargers game in November, but if the Cardinals are going to be this bad, I don't think he's going to want to go.
So you realize that you actually loved your grandfather and didn't want to impose that on him?
So we finished the game together yesterday, and it's like, I'm having a great time, but, you know, how fun is it to pay a decent amount of money to watch your team get shut out and sit in the sun all day? It's like, I don't blame him if he doesn't want to go. Like, I'm going to wait. I haven't bought the tickets yet. I was going to buy them, but now I'm kind of like holding off. So I'm going to wait until, you know, like 2 weeks before and be like, so check it in.
That'd be a nice gesture.
Do you want to see the 0-11 Cardinals play?
Sam Bradford. 12th
Rosen's got to be playing by then, doesn't he?
We'll see that. That's the thing that I'm holding out for, is if Rosen's playing by that point, then maybe he would want to go see Rosen.
Yeah.
Next week, guys, is the marquee matchup. Chargers at Rams.
Battle for LA.
Okay, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Before we go, let me remind you to follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and YouTube, and you can find us on Facebook. Any final thoughts, guys?
go Chargers and go Cardinals because it's one of those seasons for Mike, I guess.
At least your teams haven't had a tie 2 weeks in a row.
A tie would be an improvement for the Cardinals.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I'm just going to need to remind you, the rent is due the first of the month. Go Rams.
All right, so until next week, you heard it here first. If the Browns do not win on Thursday, Hugh Jackson will be fired. Go Pack. Go Browns. And we'll see you next time.
Ram it.